Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Enel Chile 9M 2020 Results Conference Call. My name is Tanya, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, our participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question via the telephone, you will need to press star one. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. During this conference call, we may make statements that consist forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Such forward-looking statements reflects only our current expectation, are not guaranteed of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors are described in Enel Chile press release reporting in 9M 2020 results. The presentation accompanying this conference call and Enel Chile annual report on Form 20-F, including under risk factors. You may access our 9M 2020 results press release and presentation on our website at www.enel.cl and our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on those forward-looking statements, which speak only as of our dates. Enel Chile undertakes no obligations to update those forward-looking statements or to disclose any developments as a result of which forward-looking statements become inaccurate, except as required by law. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Ms. Isabela Clemes, Head of Investor Relations of Enel Chile. Please proceed.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Chile's third quarter 2020 results presentation. Thanks to all joining us today. I hope this finds you and your families doing well and stay healthy. I am Isabela Clemes, Head of Investor Relations. Our presentation and related financial information are available on our website, www.enel.cl, at the investor section. A replay of the call will also be available. There will be an opportunity to ask questions after the presentation via phone or via the chat through the link Ask a Question. Joining me today are CEO Paulo Palotti and our CFO Giuseppe Turchiarelli. Paulo will open the presentation with the main highlights and will give us an update on the global situation that we are facing, how the company is actively reporting, responding to it, and will present some updates in the execution of our strategy. Then Giuseppe will walk you through our financial results and our operational performance. Let me remind you that media participants are connected only on listening mode. As always, our IR team will continue to be available to provide you with any detailed information you may need with respect to the included information in this presentation. Thank you all for your presence, and let me hand over now to Paulo. Paulo?
Thank you, Isabela. Good morning to you all. Let's start by mentioning the highlight of the period on slide two. Over the third quarter, our market context continued to be under pressure due to an economic downturn. Despite this unprecedented extreme scenario, our operational resilience and continued support to our clients maintained. On the decarbonization of our matrix, Enel Chile is progressing in developing the new renewable project as per industrial plan. We have recently announced the start of construction of Domeno, a 204-MW solar plant, and we are going to disconnect Boccamina 1 by year-end. Within the next days, we will give you more details on the new projects. Aiming at decreasing city contamination and improving the switch into cleaner use of energy, we continue to boost the country's electrification and support our key clients on the new and efficient use of electricity. Consequently, during this quarter, we have developed new alliance in public transportation area and in gas service station companies to enhance the development of our plan on electromobility to cover the route from Arica to Punta Arenas. With 1,200 charges, it means a charging point every 6 kilometers. On that, let me mention our initiative on hydrogen. We have recently announced our participation with ANA and the prospect partners ENAP, Siemens Energy, and Porsche to install a pilot plant for green hydrogen production through an electrolyzer fueled by electricity generated by a wind plant. This pilot project, which would be one of the largest of its kind in Latin America, will be located in the Magallanes region in the south of the country. Let's move to page 3. We know that the situation of COVID-19 is not over yet. Still, we would like to give you, in a nutshell, of our company performed and is performing during the sanitary crisis, especially when Chile metropolitan region was locked down. 74% of our employees continue to work from home, minimizing the contagion risk and preventing the virus from spreading. The ones that are on the field are working with extreme safety measures. 100% of our plants and network are fully operational, which ensure our services continuity. These results derive from the combination of technology, procedures, and our people and suppliers' strong commitment. Finally, but not least, we extended our compromise with our clients. Over this year, we have made available more options to access our company services and increased the numbers of digital payment platforms available to give our clients more flexibility in remote paying. Moving to slide 4, you can see our effort in support the economic recovery. We strongly believe that an acceleration of the decarbonization process and the development of renewable projects will improve country economic recovery. Since the beginning of the pandemic, we have been advocating the importance of the green economy in our current context by renewable capacity development of the new kind of energy services, providing at the same time competitive electricity price. During this year, we have created around 3,600 new jobs in different zones of the country where our projects are in construction, promoting local hiring. Over the next month, we will see an increase in this amount, considering our construction timeline, which might add additional temporary new jobs from the beginning of 2021. In addition, as a consequence of the conversion to a cleaner matrix, we are working on job reconversion programs, providing all the required training. Besides that, let me remind you that we continue our engagement with the local communities to promote shared value, education, and diversity, where we are developing our new renewable projects by the execution of different social programs to exploit entrepreneur and proactive culture. On slide 5, the country's lockdown has impacted the electricity demand in many economic sectors related to the industrial activity and commerce. Several companies have reduced their operation to minimum levels and, to some extent, shut down their operation, which resulted in a significant decrease in demand, impacting both generation and distribution business. This effect started in March 2020. Went lower during the lockdown, and is easing with a gradual opening of the regions that started in September. Regulated demand continues to be the most affected segment in the country, despite the easing of the lockdown measures. We expect to see some improvements in the next months, considering the commercial and business sector gradual opening. Tele distribution households continue to have a flat performance, being primarily affected by temperatures. In our generation business, we still see an increase in our non-regulated clients' electricity demand versus last year figures. This is primarily driven by our free market existing portfolio resilience, as for example, the mining companies, and by the new PPA secured by our company during the first 9 months of 2020. On page six, let's review our distribution business collection. Our effort on digitalization continue to assure the continuity of our business without compromising our client, employees, and supplier safety. Since the beginning of this outbreak, we have improved our customers' experience by adding new digital channels. As a result, we are one of the distribution companies with more digital options available. The number of payments made through digital channels continue to be impressive. If compared to the present one, presential ones, 77% in the third quarter of this year and 85% of September collection was derived from this channel. By September 2020, we have executed almost 62,000 agreements with clients to modulate their payments and mitigate the impact on our collection, of which 100,000 voluntary deals with the most vulnerable clients since March 2020 and 12,600 under basic service bills approved last August. On average, we have executed more than 1 million contacts with our clients during this quarter through direct calls, SMS, and other communication channels. Our collection during 2020 reached 96% and 92.4% respectively, in accumulated and a quarter figures versus the historical level around 99%. This is mainly due to the current economic and regulatory situation, which reduced the client's payment ability and suspended the cut option for bad payers. Let's go through slide 9 with a summary of our market main regulatory discussions. Starting with distribution, on the contingency front, last August, the Senate and Congress have approved a new law known Basic Service Bill to benefit the most vulnerable client of essential services. The law identifies a cluster of vulnerable clients that have the option to postpone, under request, the payment of their bill for 90 days from the approval of the law to be repaid in full installment without interest. Moreover, the law states that no cut in service or service could be allowed to the cluster of clients, including the whole household. Let me remind that before the rule of this law, we have already offered, on a voluntary basis, the same kind of agreement to our most vulnerable clients. Today, we have almost 13,000 clients that adopt this scheme under the Basic Service Law and 11,000 under our voluntary program. A few days ago, some centers presented a new project to modify the Basic Service Law in order to extend the benefits until April 2021 and to give 36 installments for unpaid balances. The project is under discussion. Still on distribution, last Wednesday, Enel Distribution announced to the market that it would call for an extraordinary shareholder meeting to execute all the reorganizational measures to comply with the unbundling mechanism known as Giro Exclusivo. Under this extraordinary meeting, Enel Distribution shareholders will vote to approve the split of Enel Distribution into two companies, one exclusively for distribution assets and the other solely for transmission assets. Finally, on distribution, with regards to the new regulatory cycle, the government has already hired an external consultant to carry out studies on the new regulatory reference model for the new distribution regulatory cycle. We will share more details on the current framework in the next quarter, as expected to release the first appraisal report by first half. On slide 8, let's move on the main updates on generation. On tariff stabilization mechanism, according to the preliminary report published this month of October by the Chilean Energy Commission, the total balance accrual under the stabilization mechanism totals $842 million for the entire Chilean market on August 2020. At the end of September, Enel Chile balance totals $320 million. In this study, the CNE also published a new estimate of balance of the stabilization mechanism for June 2021, using an average exchange rate of 800 Chilean pesos for $1. According to this estimate, on June 2021, the balance would reach $1,169 million. During this quarter, Chilean government presented the more details on markets gradually opening. On the document presented to the Energy Commission of this chamber, some messaging were stated. All clients shall be able to choose the supplier and the market liberalization shall be done by geographical gradual pace. Regulated auction rules shall be revised by, for instance, including take-or-pay contracts. Two new agents shall be created, the traders and the information agents. As ML, we believe that the gradual opening of the market is a natural evolution of the sector and of the energy transition, and therefore an important step for the country that needs to be designed properly and implemented in a clear, timely manner. I expect to have more updates for our next call. Now, let me record some key elements of our decarbonization process on chart 10. We have a strong commitment to the fight against climate change and have carried out different initiatives in line with this commitment. The voluntary full disconnection of our coal power plants is part of this plan. On that, we are 2 months close to the disconnection of Bocamina 1 and 128 megawatt coal power plants. As I mentioned before, our coal facility decommissioning will be finalized without accessing to the Energy Strategic Reserve. With these achievements, we will become the first electric company to phase out our coal fleet by 2022, reaffirming our sustainable strategy, just transition policy, and promoting a circular economy perspective to contribute to develop the areas where the units are located. On page 11, let's see more details on our decarbonization strategy. This quarter, we have reached 1.3 gigawatts of renewable capacity under construction and 0.7 gigawatts ready to start construction in the following months. In addition to that, we have approximately 3.7 gigawatts of renewable capacity in different phases of development and other opportunities in the market that represent optionality for the future, to continue de-risking our generation portfolio from commodities and hydrology. I will give you more color on our future portfolio on our Investor Day planned for early December. Now, let's focus on page 12 on the two new projects announced during this quarter. As part of our strategy to de-risk our energy matrix, we have started the construction of a 204 megawatt Domenico photovoltaic park located in the Antofagasta region. The solar plant is due to be completed by 2021. The plant will use a cutting-edge technology that allows greater efficiency in capturing solar radiation. Once operational, it will produce around 589 gigawatt hour per year, avoiding the emission of 539,000 tons of CO2 into the atmosphere. On October 2, our subsidiary, Enel Green Power Chile, announced the plan to execute the first project for green hydrogen production in Chile. Together with our prospective partners, AME, the Andes Mining and Energy Corporate, ENAM, the Chilean Oil and Gas Company, Siemens Energy and Porsche, we will install a pilot plant for green hydrogen production. This project will be located in the south of the country, in the region of Magallanes, known internationally for its wind potential. Our part in this partnership will be, together with AME, supply green energy through a wind farm to the electrolyzer for the green hydrogen production. The downstream activities and exportation of the green fuel will be in charge of the remaining partners. This pilot project, which is subject to the local authorities' approval and the conclusion of the financing structure, is expected to be in operation by 2022. This pilot project will be the first of its kind to produce green hydrogen in Chile and potentially one of the largest in Latin America. Now, on page 13, let's take an outlook on the other projects under construction. Today, we have under construction 1.3 gigawatts of solar capacity that will be completed between 2021 and 2022. We have different projects in different stages of construction. Still in north of Chile, Cerro Pabellón continues the expansion with 28 megawatts of additional capacity that will be completed on 2021, consolidating as the only geothermal plant operating in South America. Today, we are developing an ambitious growth plan that will consolidate our position as the main renewable player, contributing to the fight against the climate change and supporting the economy recovery. In this virtuous loop, some authorization process might be reviewed to cope with the country ambition under the Paris Agreement and the climate change goals. On slide 14, with reference to our generation business, we are presenting the cumulated rainfall for the most significant river basins, Maule, Biobío, Maja, and Rapel. As you can see on the right side of the slide, we recorded a recovery in rainfall in the second half of June and July, reaching normal levels in most of our basins. Nevertheless, during August and September, rainfall decreased notably in the country. On the other hand, there was an improvement in the levels of snow accumulated in the mountains, since rains during June and July were accompanied by a colder condition once compared to 2019 figures at a lower altitude. Therefore, the accumulated snow levels are higher than those observed last year, as we can see in the image on the slide left side. Considering the current conditions, we expect the hydro generation of the second semester 2020 to range between 5.8 and 6 terawatt hour approximately. We expect a probability of excedence of 70% for the melting season between October and December. So the year 2020 would be similar to the 2019. Let me remind you that the generation with LNG is currently the natural edge of Enel Chile portfolio to cope with the drought, as you will see in the following slides. Still on generation, let me go through our main industrial KPIs. The total net production for the nine-month period decreased by 12.1%, amounting to 14 terawatt-hours. In the period, 61% of our generation came from renewable sources. The variance between 9 months 20 and last year figures came from minus 1 terawatt hour of a lower generation in our hydropower plants, reflecting the hydrology performance, minus 0.9 terawatt hour of lower thermal production, mainly in our coal-fired plants, due to the closure of Tarapacá power plant in December 31, 2019, and the impact of a lower system marginal cost. In terms of our energy balance, we remain a spot buyer in the market with a purchase of 2.9 terawatt-hour in 9 months 2020, plus 1 terawatt-hour higher than 9 months 2019 due to the low hydrology and marginal costs. On the other hand, our physical energy sales decreased 5.5%, or 1 terawatt-hour, mainly explained by minus 1.6 terawatt-hour of a lower demand from distribution companies, primarily relating to the termination of regulated PPAs with SAESA and ML, secured in 2006 auction, and the lower energy demand in connection to lockdowns established with until August-September in different cities of the country, partially offset by plus 0.8 terawatt-hour of higher free market sales as part of our strategy to capture new clients and the ones that recently migrated to the free market. Finally, it's worth mentioning that during the third quarter 2020, our physical sales increased by 7.3% or 0.4 terawatt hour when compared to the second quarter 2020, partially reflecting the gradual easing of the lockdowns started by the end of August. Slide 16 on distribution. The lockdown in our concession area and social unrest mostly explains the decrease in the energy distributed in the period, when once compared to the last year's figures, and the performance of the energy losses that moved to 5.2%. Our customer base continued to expand. In this period, we have got an increase of 53,000 new clients, reaching almost 2 million clients. On the quality of our services, our interruption index, SAIDI, performed very well with 26 minutes better in the period, reflecting the investment done in our concession area, despite logistic restrictions coming from the social unrest and lastly from the pandemic situation. As of September 2020, we have reached more than 2,000 telecontrol equipment in our grid. Moving to slide 17, NLX and digitalization. We have executed two important strategic agreements to continue to boost Chile electric mobility during this quarter. The first one was with AMP Capital, in which we have created an SPV focused on massive electric public transportation, in which we own a stake of 20%. In this agreement, Enel Chile contributed with the acquired 435 buses for Transantiago Red. The second one was with Shell, known in the country as NX, to add an electric charging station on Shell facilities. This agreement comes to cope with our goal to add 1,200 charging points in the country. Our company will be responsible not only for installation and maintenance of all charging units, but also to the customer experience. During the period, we have also signed an agreement with important manufacturer brands such as Nissan, Volvo, BMW, to supply Enelix integrated vehicle charging solution in both the domestic and public sphere. Let's recall that during the first half of this year, we secured a new project on public lighting, aiming to upgrade the lighting infrastructure and other services as security and connection, bringing more efficient systems and favor to the local communities and municipalities. Finally, we continue promoting efficiency and clean technology for the mining industry to use electric buses combined with solar energy and storage charging system. I will now hand over to Giuseppe for the analysis of the results.
Thanks, Paolo. Let me start with a summary of our financial highlights, which we will go through details in the following slide. Before it, let me explain which adjustment we made in our figures, both for 2019 and 2020. For what concerns 2019, we have adjusted the EBITDA excluding the PPA yearly termination effect and the net impact of impairment of Bocoina 1 and Tarapacá. For the 2020 figures, we have adjusted the EBITDA and net income by the effect coming from the anticipation of the closing of Bocamina 1 and Bocamina 2, which details are described in the bottom of the slide. Now, moving to the slide 20, I will explain with more details how would have been the performance of our EBITDA and bottom line, excluding the COVID effect. Net of COVID impact, our adjusted EBITDA would have been slightly higher versus last year, reaching $866 million, $58 million higher. The factors associated are $49 million related to the reduction of demand impacting our sales in distribution and generation, net of energy purchases in the period, $9 million mainly associated with the higher energy losses, customer care, and other OpEx needed to face the contingency and any lower activity. Moving down the P&L, we recorded a negative impact related to bad debt provision of $13 million, driven by temporary extension of the historical collection period. Therefore, net of COVID, our adjusted net income would have reached $377 million. Now let's go to our CapEx on slide 21. In the third quarter 20, our CapEx reached $264 million, mainly due to the increase of the CapEx allocated for our development activities. Therefore, our development CapEx totaled $260 million, 94% out of it assigned to the construction of our new renewable facility. Consequently, our total CapEx for the 9 months 2020 amounted to $586 million, allocated as follows. Customer CapEx totaled $49 million, 63% higher than September 2019, with significant investment allocated to build connection to new customers. This investment results from the increase in our client base, particularly in the first quarter, and improving our commercial system to guarantee a better interface with our clients. As Paolo mentioned before, the continuous digitalization of our customer interface and internal commercial processes will continue to be a key factor for our industry. Asset management CapEx reached $62 million, in line with the 2019 figures. Half of it was allocated to our distribution activities, mainly focused on our low-voltage line and repairs in some facilities because of the social unrest damages. The remaining part was allocated to our generation unit, focusing on maintaining the availability level and investing in digitalization. As of September 2020, development CapEx reached $476 million, a $324 million higher than 2019, driven by renewable projects in line with our decarbonization strategy. We have also allocated additional $11 million to the development of our distribution business to continue the digitalization of our network. Now, slide 22. Let's start with the third Q adjusted EBITDA breakdown. As you can see, the third Q 2020 adjusted EBITDA was impacted by $24 million by the demand, net of energy purchases, mainly due to the COVID-19 lockdown measures and migration of clients. Worse hydrological condition in the quarter affected our hydro generation by 0.2 terawatt hours or $8 million. PPA margin effect that includes the impact of commodity, CPI, and effects on PPA and spot price totaled a positive effect of $20 million, minus $11 million coming from NLX, that was affected by leasing of 290 buses accounting in 2019 and lower activity in the public lighting business. Because of the higher depreciation of local currency versus US dollar, we booked a no-cash item of $7 million associated to the translation of loan denominated in US dollar in our book, as of our functional currency is in pesos. Negative impact of $4 million coming from energy losses, mainly explained by logistic restriction and cut suspension. Let's now move to accumulated figures analyzed on page 23. As you can see in the slide, we have isolated two non-recurring effects related to the early termination of PPA agreement in 2019 and the previously mentioned coal stock impairment in 2020. Excluding this effect, our adjusted EBITDA reduced by 6% due to lockdown measures that affect the demand net of purchases of both generation and distribution businesses by $54 million, mainly related to the COVID-19. Lower hydro generation impacting our adjusted EBITDA in $48 million. Sales of two LNG cargoes during first half 2019 that wasn't executed this year due to the lower price of commodity in the international market, with an impact of $22 million. Net commodity negative impact of $9 million, mainly due to the unexpected volatility of commodity in the international market. Because of higher depreciation of local currency versus US dollar, we booked a no cash item of $37 million associated to the translation of loan denominated in US dollar in our books. All these effects were offset by the following items. PPA margin positive effect of $80 million coming from commodity CPI and FX, tariff amortization of $23 million, and OPEX and other with a positive effect of $24 million, mainly due to the transmission, lower transmission costs and insurance reimbursement in 2020. In slide 24, we have a summary of the performance of our generation businesses, including Enel Generación and Enel Green Power. I have already explained the main variation embedded in the quarter and accumulated figures between the periods. So my message here is to highlight that our generation adjusted EBITDA margin, despite of all the before mentioned headwinds, sustained in a high level, reaching 54% in the third Q 2020 and 46% in the 9 months 2020, in line with the 2019 figures. Now, on distribution business, NLS page 25. The third quarter 2020 EBITDA reached $44 million, or 35% compared with the third Q 2019 EBITDA, mainly due to on NLX, mainly due to the Transantiago 2 leasing and smart lighting accrued in 2019. On networks, mainly due to lower energy consumption in both regulated and free market clients as a result of the lockdown measures applied by the government to contain the spread of COVID-19, and higher energy losses due to the cutting logistic restriction. On the accumulated figures, EBITDA was low by $42 million, mainly due to, on the NLX, a negative impact of $10 million, mainly due to the impact already mentioned in the quarter. On networks, reduction of $32 million coming through lower demand because of the lockdown restriction and higher energy losses, and 2019 energy settlement this year. Now, on slide 26, let's go through the main drivers of group net income. D&A and bad debt reached $243 million, a variance of $20 million, mainly related to $17 million due to the higher bad debt provision, mainly to the COVID-19 outbreak. $13 million higher depreciation in EGP Chile due to the devaluation of Chilean pesos against the dollar in 9 months 2020. $7 million higher depreciation at distribution business due to higher investment in the last year, partially offset by the closure of Tarapacá on 31st December last year and the phase out of Bocamina 1 and Bocamina 2. The impairment increased by $520 million, mainly due to the Bocamina 2 impairment booked in June 2020 related to the power plant early closure planned for May 2022. Financial results totaled an expense of $111 million, a decrease of $24 million mainly due to lower average cost of our debt, a result of the renegotiation of EGP debt with EFI, financial income dollar coming from the accounting impact of the energy stabilization mechanism law, foreign exchange rate appreciation in 9 months 2020 impacting positively in financial receivable in US dollars. Income tax and minorities reflect the lower results mainly related to the Procamina 2 impairment effect and reorganization of energy generation on gas Sarama. As a consequence, the reported 9 months 2020 net income results reached minus $282 million. The 9 months 2020 adjusted figures totaled $324 million at 16% lower than the 9 months 2019 adjusted net income. Moving to cash flow on slide 27. Our 9 months 2020 FFO reached $566 million, strongly impacted by lower collection of $99 million in our distribution business, mainly because of COVID, lower EBITDA in the period, and energy stabilization mechanism balance account of $153 million, partially offset by e-buses sales to the AMP Capital, which totaled amount almost $100 million, and other networking capital initiatives. Despite this challenging situation, our 9 month 20 FFO was $181 million higher than 2019 adjusted figures, mainly due to lower income tax paid in 9 months 20, mostly due to the tax credit reimbursement from previous years, and lower monthly interim payment postponed to 2021. Better working capital as a result of the sales of NLX e-buses, higher LNG payment last year, and our cash initiative in the period. Let's now take a look at the net and gross debt on slide 28. Our gross debt increased by $570.7 million versus December 2019, amounting to $4.15 billion as of September 2020. As a result of Enel Chile new funding with EFI of $600 million during the first half of the year to cope with our CAPEX plan and cash needs related to the price stabilization mechanism, partially offset by Enel Chile subsidiary debt amortization. As a result of our constant effort to optimize our financial expense, our cost of gross debt decreased by 60 basis points with compare figures of December 2019, as a result of the liability management executed during 2019 and new emission during the first half of this year. All in all, our net debt of September 2020 compared to January 1st, 2020 increased by $375 million, mainly explained by our CAPEX plan. Finally, on our debt amortization on slide 29, in terms of liquidity, we maintain the level of $1 billion, making us able to finance our CAPEX plan and be comfortable to face the current economic scenario. Our debt amortization schedule has a $170 million payment forecasted to December 2020 and a very smooth third-party debt profile for the following year. Our debt average term is over 6 years. Now I will pass the word to Paolo.
Thank you, Giuseppe. As we saw in the presentation, the current situation represents a challenging scenario for the sector and our clients. Despite that, With our growth plan, we will consolidate our position as the leading renewable player, contributing to the fight against climate change and supporting economic recovery. As you saw today during our presentation, we continue strongly pushing for our matrix decarbonization, incentivizing the electrification in the country, and providing different solutions to our clients. All of this is based on safeguarding our people, business reliability, digitalization, and quick reaction to external conditions. This week, I'm pleased to mention that we have been awarded an important recognition from the Latin Trade and Inter-American Development Bank, NLChile, and other four companies in LATAM from different sectors were recognized by its sustainable standards, work on community development, providing affordable electricity to the weakest areas of the country, and reacting rapidly to propose solutions to our clients since the start of social unrest. To respond and anticipate our client needs is the best way to ensure the quality and reliability of our services, tied to continuous improvement of our digital platform. Finally, the resilience of our business and sustainable strategy is supported by the strength of our balance sheet and by eventual additional liquidity measures to support eventual headwind from external environment. Thank you for your attention, and let's now open the Q&A section. I will hand over to Isabella.
Thank you for your attention. As we've anticipated, we will receive questions via phone and chat in the webcast on this occasion. The Q&A section is open. Operator, please, you may start.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question via the telephone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time, please. Your first question is from Sarah Piccini with Mediobanca.
Hello, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. I have three. The first one is on the slide where you show the working capital of 160 million. Could you please explain this is a figure that has been expanded by the bad debt due to the current situation, and if you see this 160 million to increase through the year end or can be eventually partly reabsorbed. Then the second question is on the guidance. You provided a new guidance during the first half that was at EBITDA $1.2-1.3 billion. Do you feel comfortable with these numbers or do you see any potential upside or downside, any color on these? And then the last question is on the renewable projects that you have. You have a very interesting pipeline, and obviously you will provide an update with the new business plan. But just on these current projects that you announced, could you please explain the strategy behind them? Are these contracted projects with long-term prices? Are these integrated with your clients' portfolio, so you see the pricing risk on these projects to be very limited? So this on the price side. And on the CapEx side, how much is the CapEx per megawatt that you are spending for this new project? Many thanks.
Okay, thank you very much for your question, Sarah. I will take the second and the third questions, and I leave Giuseppe the first one, working capital. Regarding guidance, clearly our review of the numbers was based on the, let's say, main events that affected these 2020s, the company, and we think that we can stick to the figures that we released by last July, maybe in the lower end, depending on the evolution of the last month, and also depending on how some external effect may evolve in the last 2 months. But we will stick in the numbers that we have announced last July. Regarding renewables, and especially the item of price, what we are doing is trying to, we are pushing the reconversion of our generation matrix to have more and more
renewable assets. This is because of also the economicity of the asset, the generated electricity, and also because of the demand that we are receiving from the clients. Now, especially large liberalized clients are requesting more and more to have contracts with renewable energy. We don't have a single asset linked to a single client. We go through a logical portfolio. We have a portfolio contract that which amount is in range of 24, 25 terawatt hours per year. And we serve this portfolio of clients optimizing the generation of our fleets and in some cases buying the stock market when convenient. So we don't have a single link between one plant and one client. In terms of CapEx, we are using, as we mentioned, the cutting edge technology for the solar plant and the large size wind turbines in our project. If we look at the cost of the investment, it is in the range between 0.7 and 0.8 for the solar plant and 0.1, 0.2 million per megawatt for the wind the wind turbine.
Sorry, you mean 0.1, 0.2 for wind? No, 1.1 or 1.2
1.1 and 1.2 for the wind turbine to wind assets and 0.7, 0.8 million per megawatt in the solar plant.
Perfect. Many thanks.
And Giuseppe for the working capital.
Yeah, talking about the working capital, I mean, the big impact that we had during these 9 months are related to the lower collection in distribution business because of COVID that is amounting in $99 million, and the energy stabilization mechanism that will worth $153 million.
And thank you, sorry. And do you expect this figure to increase or be reabsorbed by the year end?
For what concerns the energy stabilization mechanism, I mean, we expect that we're going to increase in the following quarter because of the mechanism that it works in this way. And for what concerns the collection, we believe that as soon as we are able to start again the cutting process, we believe to recover in a significant part this amount. Of course, it's difficult to understand how much, but I mean, the projection is positive.
Many thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Your next question is from Marullo from Riccini with Santander.
Hi, good morning, guys. Hi, Paolo, Giuseppe, and Isabella. Thanks for the call. This is Marullo Riccini from Santander. I have a couple of questions, if I may. First of all, in talking about the portability bill that is being discussed in the lower house, in this case, this bill is approved in 2021 or 22. How are you seeing the migration movement going forward, and what levels of demand do you expect for your regulated PPAs in the coming years? Which kind of mechanism could be implemented in order to ensure the financial balance of the current regulated contracts, and if you see major impacts on your regulated PPAs. The second one is regarding gas activities. Could you provide more color on the gas sales, and how do you expect this activity to perform going forward, please? And the last one is regarding CapEx. how do you expect to end the year compared to the industrial plan released last year? This is all. Thank you.
Hi, Marie, thank you for your question. And I will answer to the first and the third and leave Giuseppe for the second one. Regarding portability, it's a good question. Maybe it's too early to be, let's say, elaborated and mentioned, because what we see today is a general proposal for opening of the market, whose, let's say, process should be quite large, because for the time being, at Congress, they are discussing the possibility of going through this law. So we expect that such a decision will be taken, it will take some time for the discussion at the Congress level, then for the approval of the government, and then for the definition of the decrees for the opening of the market. So we see for the time being, according to the information that has been provided to the sector, a quite lengthy process that should land between 2022 and 2023. At the same time, also the rules of the opening are not clear yet, because there is a main object of opening of the market to have a full opening of the market, but there is still this option of going through geographical area, starting from the most affected from the pollution or from certain, let's say, living condition of the country. And so this is quite honest, it's difficult to, let's say, to evaluate in terms of impact. What we see is that, we can say the opening of the market is a natural evolution of the sector. So we expect that it will take place. As the important element here is to implement it properly and in a timely manner. I mean, rather than going through opening full for geographical area, we see more adequate a transitional period where the threshold could go lower. So assure, for the same time, the gradual transition of the client from the regulated to the free market, clear rules on how the client could be moved, could take the decision from the regulated to the free market, how the new player, because there are new players that are entering, can operate, and which are the conditions to be a player in the market, and so to make also appropriate protection for the existing contract that could have existing contract for the regulated market that could have different conditions. So taking all into consideration, to tell you which could be the impact in terms of margin, it is quite early. What we think that is something that is going to happen, and it could be, let's say, for sure positive for the client. I think it could be positive also for the player that can act in the sector in a proper manner with, let's say, in a competitive way. But today I cannot tell you which could be the quantitative impact. The point of attention for sure is timing from implementation and the mechanism for the definition of how contract for the labor market will be managed. Regarding CAPEX, as you have seen, we are going pushing on the implementation of our new project on renewables. Clearly, the 2020 is not a regular standard year. We have been affected from one side, from the let's say the pandemic that in some period of the last month, especially between July, end of June and July, some areas where most of the project has been affected by strong hit of the pandemic, and so we have to manage also successfully the let's say the continuity of the construction together with the very very strong measure and permit to go on. We think that we can let's say maybe that we will not reach the full amount of this year, but we don't see a strong gap. So we are continuing to invest and going forward in all the projects that we are in the plan. Giuseppe, for the gas sales.
Yeah, and let me say that you know the margin that we got last year was relating to the. The margin that was possible because of the price in the international market. I mean, this year the market is completely different with the decrease of the price of commodity. Of course, we don't have such an opportunity. So for this year, we don't see possibility to have such a margin. Next year, of course, a different story, depending on the market.
Great, thanks. And follow-up question, if I may. Are you still negotiating the monetization of both receivables, the one that is being accumulated in the generation unit and also the other one regarding distribution unit?
Well, for what concerns the receivable coming from the stabilization mechanism, price mechanism, yes. We are negotiating with some banks, together with the BID, and we believe that we're able to close the deal by the end of the year. And basically, same story for what concerns the distribution. We're gonna see how we're gonna handle in the following month. Both factoring will be done at the beginning of December, in the first half of December, let me say, at the end. We're going to do it.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
You're welcome.
At this time, there are no further questions via the telephone. I would like to turn the call back over to Isabella Clemes.
Hi, thank you. So we have here on the chat, we have some questions. So the first one is coming from Andrew McCartney from Credicorp. He's asking, how are you reviewing dividend payouts on 2020 net income? Do you envisage paying a provisional dividend in January as you did last year? Please follow, Giuseppe.
Yeah, regarding the dividend policy, we think to clearly is this year is based on capability of the company to generate cash, and we think the same approach that we had last year can be applied. Last year as well, we had an impact in terms of accounting and let's say the nominal level of net income, but we decide to distribute dividends on a pro forma basis, on a pro forma net income basis. So we think that we will apply the same approach, and we will decide during the next months, and consequently we will distribute the provision on January based on the approach.
Perfect. Thank you, Paolo. So we have a second question coming from Eder Castro, also from Credicorp. He's asking, could you please share details about the reason what explained the drop in generation by source, hydro, thermal, and in conventional renewables? Should we expect the same for next quarters?
Let me say that considering the current condition, we expect the hydro generation of the second semester to maintain in the range of 5.86 terawatt hour approximately. And we expect the probability of an excedence of 70% for the melting season between October and December. So in the year 2020, would be the total amount of hydro production will be similar to 2019. Usually, the 4Q is always the best one due to the melting season.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Giuseppe. So we have another question also from Edercartes on the OPEX of the period. If you can give more details about the increasing on other fixed operating cost items in the income statement. Should we expect to be a new level for coming quarters, or is it only a one-timer?
Well, let me say that, you know, basically, it's one-timer, but of course, you have to consider that we are increasing part of our capacity. But as of today, we believe that in the third quarter we'll be again at the regular level. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Giuseppe. So let me check if we have any more questions here on the webcast. So we don't have any other questions now. So I would like to thank you all for your presence today. And let me say that our team, Investor Relations team, will be available for any other further questions you may have. Okay, thank you. Have a nice day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.